Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, The Forest of Enjoyment. Should be the Forest of Suffering. Text number 43. Yo dustaya jandaras sutan.
Yo dustaya jandaras
sutan. Surid rajam ridis prishaha. Jahao yuvaiva malava
Jahao yuvaiva malava
Uttama shoka lalasa
Uttama shoka lalasa
Yodushya jandarana sutan
Yodushya jandarana sutan
Suridra jamridi sprisha
Suridra jamridi sprisha
Jahao yuvaiva malava
just like one gives up stool after evacuating.
Such was the greatness of His Majesty. Please repeat, while in the prime of life, the great Maharaj Bharat gave up everything because he was fond of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Uttama Shloka. He gave up his beautiful wife, nice children, great friends, an enormous empire. Although these things were very difficult to give up, Maharaj Bharata was so exalted that he gave them up, just as one gives up stool after evacuating. Such was the greatness of His Majesty. The name of God is Krishna because He is so attractive that the pure devotee can give up everything within this material world on His behalf. Maharaj Bharata was an ideal king, instructor, and emperor of the world. He possessed all the opulences of the material world, but Krishna is so attractive that He attracted Maharaj Bharata from all his material possessions. Yet somehow or another, the king became affectionate of a little deer, and falling from his position, had to accept the body of a deer in his next life. Due to Krishna's great mercy upon him, he could not forget his position, and he could understand how he had fallen. Therefore, in the next life, as Jada Bharata, Maharaj Bharata was careful not to spoil his energy, and therefore he presented himself as a deaf and dumb person. In this way, he concentrated on his devotional service. We have to learn from the great King Bharata how to become cautious in cultivating Krishna consciousness. A little inattention will retard our devotional service for the long time being. Yet any service rendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is never lost. Svalpam apyasi dharmasya trayate mahato payat. Bhagavad Gita 2:40. A little devotional service rendered sincerely is a permanent asset. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1:5:17, Tyatva Siddharmam Charnam Bhujam Harer Vadana Pakvo Tapate Ito Yidi Yatra Kwa Bhavadram Abudamu Shakim Ko Vartha Apto Vajatam Siddharma Taha. Somehow or another, if one is attracted to Krishna, whatever he does in devotional service is a permanent asset. Even if one falls down due to immaturity or bad association, his devotional assets are never lost. There are many examples of this. Ajamil, Maharaj Bharata, and many others. This Krishna consciousness movement is giving everyone a chance to engage in devotional service at least for some time. A little service will give one an impetus to advance and thus make one's life successful. In this verse, the Lord is described as Uttama Shloka. Uttama means the best, and Shloka means reputation. Lord Krishna is full on six opulences, one of which is reputation. Aishvaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashasya spriyaha. Krishna's reputation is still expanding. We are spreading the glories of Krishna and pushing forward this Krishna consciousness movement. Krishna's reputation 5,000 years after the Battle of Kurukshetra is still expanding throughout the world. Every important individual within this world must have heard of Krishna, especially at the present moment, due to the Krishna consciousness movement. Even people who do not like us and want to suppress the movement are also somehow or another chanting Hare Krishna. They say the Hare Krishna people should be chastised. Such foolish people do not realize the true value of this movement, but the mere fact that they want to criticize us gives them a chance to chant Hare Krishna, and this is its success. Yo duscaya, so the verse again. Yo duscaya jan dara sutan suridra jam radis prisha Yaha yuvaiva malavad utama shokalala saha. On the prime of life, the great Maharaj Bharata gave up everything because he was fond of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Uttama Shloka. He gave up his beautiful wife, nice children, great friends, and enormous empire. Although these things were very difficult to give up, Bharata was so exalted that he gave them up just like one gives up school after evacuating. Such was the greatness of his majesty. Among Vishnu Graya Krishna Prasthaya Buddha Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamne Namaste Sarasatunde Venkor Vani Pracharne Nirvi Shesha Shnubadi Paskatyade Siddharta. In this verse, Prabhupada mentions in the purport that devotional assets are permanent. And Prabhupada also mentioned, it's not expected that everyone who engages themselves in devotional service will reach perfection in one lifetime. As we can see, many people take up the process for some time and then they leave. And the Bhagavad Gita Prabhupada mentions that often people come to the Hare Krishna movement with some other motive, especially the motive of economic development. And after some time, they learn how to distribute paintings or candles or some other type of paraphernalia. It used to be spiritual sky incense. I don't think that devotees don't do that anymore, but it used to be spiritual sky incense. And they think, now I've learned the perfection of life. Now I've gotten some enlightenment in the Hare Krishna movement. I'm a vegetarian. I'll maintain that vow as much as possible. But now that I know how to, I can maintain myself, why should I give everything to the temple? I should keep something for myself. And I should give a little bit to the temple. Generally speaking, the devotees, we heard the argument, let me first make $1,000,000, and then I'll join the Hare Krishna movement. Let me go out, economically develop, I'll go back to school, get a good job, economically develop, and then I can support the Hare Krishna movement. And that usually lasts, then the devotee disappears, and that's it. The material nation captures the soul, as if we can make our plans, we don't need Krishna for now, we don't need the association of devotees for now, but I'll become very prominent, influential, wealthy, etc., and then I'll benedict the Hare Krishna movement with all my assets, and then everything the Hare Krishna movement will be able to advance. Prabhupada, when he was informed, the spiritual sky incense began around 1968. And it was spiritual sky that, I don't know if it was called spiritual sky, it was in 61 Second Avenue, Brahmananda Prabhu and Gargamuni Prabhu, they started this little business selling incense. Actually, it wasn't the incense and the sticks. It was what was this Arabic incense. And they sold these stands and the incense. You put the charcoal, you burn a charcoal, and then you put the incense, this kind of gum incense, on top of the charcoal, and it would burn. And that's what we used in the temple for incense. One time, Burjai and myself, we went to New York to buy, we were in New York, and we went to buy some incense, because all the temples used it. And I was in Buffalo with Burjai. And so we went there, and Gargamuni was showing us the incense stand. And I said, Burjai, because he was the treasurer. I said, don't buy it, it looks pretty fragile. And Gargamuni grabbed me, took me out. He said, look, Prabhupada gave us the service, you know, for you to tell us about it. That was the sweet dealings we used to have. The good old days. I said, Burjai, don't buy it. It looks terrible. Anyhow, Burjai bought it. And he bought the incense. We came back to Buffalo. We put the incense burner down on the altar. We didn't really have an altar back then. We had a table. The deities, which I had no idea who the deities were, until Prabhupada came and told me who the deities were. There was these three strange figures on this. He put it on a bookshelf. It looked really unusual. We put the incense burner down, put the charcoal, lit the charcoal, put the incense burner, put the incense on the top of the charcoal, the incense burned, and the burner burned too. Everything burned. That was the beginning of spiritual stuff. It all went up in smokes. And then later on, Prabhupada, he was told that spiritual sky became relatively successful. It was the most, became a $1 million business, which at that time was a $1 million business, was a big business, fairly big business. And they wanted to expand spiritual sky, and Prabhupada said, no, we're not interested in expanding spiritual sky. We want to expand book distribution. But they did it anyhow, because sometimes we're overly inspired. And they expanded it to a bigger business, and Prabhupada didn't say anything. He actually, when they criticized the business, Prabhupada said, well, how can you criticize a business which is bringing more than $1 million to Krishna every year? So, we can start something, as it says here, and we may not finish it, but still we get devotional assets from doing it. So many devotees, they become attracted to expanding that spiritual sky. And it was actually a fairly good business, but then there became some difficulties. But because any devotee who participated and tried to expand the Hare Krishna movement in that way, it was a permanent asset. The money wasn't permanent. Spiritual sky wasn't permanent. The incense wasn't permanent. The burners weren't permanent. But the endeavor to serve Krishna in that way was permanent. When we go on book distribution and we give someone a book, sometimes the devotee is concerned. We've distributed so many books, and yet people are not flocking into the Hare Krishna movement's temples. So, what is the sense of distributing books? As if the material nature is so easy to overcome, we just go out there and give someone a book, they buy the book, and then the spirit, then the, like when the airplane comes down, and I'm like, wow, look at that, another one back. Maybe someone should sell me a book. Sometimes devotees doubt that we're spending so much time distributing these books and we're not seeing any results. But actually, every time a book is distributed, that is the result. We're supposed to understand how every activity in devotional service is absolute. We don't know what the ultimate trajectory of the path that we put someone on when they take a book or they hear the holy name or they take some prasad, because it may take some time. Of course, we have to learn patience also. Our general understanding is that things should happen fairly quickly, otherwise they're not really happening in our estimation. The movement should actually move. Sometimes it looks like it's not really moving. But our estimation of time is rather relative. The gopis danced with Krishna for one night and they thought it was rather a short night, because Krishna had promised the gopis during the, when he had taken their clothes away and they became his dear servants, they surrendered to him. He promised that he would be their husband and dance with them one night. So indeed they danced with him one night of Brahma, which is 4,300,000,000 years. So that would seem to us, if you said, well, the dance is about to start, it's going to last for 4,300,000,000 years, you think, well, I hope I have an extra pair of shoes. It's going to be a long dance. Is it going to be any prasadam served in some time? But for the gopis, it went very, very quickly, because time is very, very relative. When Kukumi and his daughter Revati went to visit Lord Brahma in Brahmaloka to find a good husband for Revati, then when they got to Brahmaloka, Lord Brahma was listening to a concert given by the Gandharvas. And he said, just wait a few minutes and then afterwards you can tell me what you want. After a few minutes went by in Brahma's time, he said, what would you like? He said, I'd like to find a good husband for my daughter, Revati. But Brahma started to laugh and said, well, you've been only here for a few minutes, but those few minutes in your time they were kalpas. Kalpa means 4,300,000 years, a whole cycle of yugas. The kalpas have gone by, and everyone that you, your whole kingdom has disappeared, all your relatives have disappeared, anyone who's ever heard of you disappeared. The only thing left is you and your daughter. But if you immediately go back to where you came from, to this earth planet, that right now Lord Balaram has advented himself, and your daughter is his eternal consort. So if you go there right now, we'll give you a special airplane to get there, because otherwise by the time you get back there, he's already finished his pastimes too. Then she can marry him. She's a suitable consort for Lord Balaram. So just a few minutes went by in Brahma's time. 1 second in Brahma's time is 96,000 of our years. Brahma sneezes, and that's hundreds and thousands of our years. So, and Brahma lives for one exhalation of Mahavishnu is 440 billion years. Just throw in an extra 40 billion years. Is his lifetime. And that's only the exhalation of Mahavishnu. What to speak in a day of Mahavishnu? How much time goes by when Mahavishnu has lunch? How many Brahmas come and go? So our idea of time is rather relative. But if someone can actually go in the right direction towards Krishna, then eventually it's expected that they'll actually become Krishna conscious. It may not happen immediately. And here in the case of Bharat Maharaj, which is given for two, as an example, as Prabhupada says, for a number of reasons. One is to show we have to be careful. First, we have to understand how exalted Bharat Maharaj was. Generally speaking, if we have a nice pen, say a very special pen, even a silver pen or a gold pen, if we lose it, we become very disturbed. We look at everyone, maybe they took it, become very disturbed. We look around some time looking for that pen because it was a valuable pen. What to speak if we lost our car? What would people do if they lost their car? Or if they lost their wife, or their husband, or their children, or their pet parakeet? What would they do? They feel very disturbed. But Bharat Maharaj, he was the emperor of the entire world, which might have been at that time the whole Bharatvarsha, which is much more extensive than we can conceive of. And at the same time, he had an attractive wife, nice children. He was the emperor. And he gave it up. He didn't drag it on till the end of life, wrestling with the young Yamdutas. He can't take me away. I'm too young to die. And he gave it up as something insignificant. Just like the six Goswamis, we, Srinivasacharya prays, Tyatva Deha, Tyatva Turnam, Ashesha Mandalapati, Trainin Siddhatu Chava, Putva Dina Gunesha Ko Karunaya, Kopi Nakanta Krito, Kopi Bhavara Samrita Dilahari, Kolo Mogna Moho, Pande Rupa Sanatana Raguyago, Shri Jiva Gopalago. Or as Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, I'm going to practice my memorization of the Krishna book. The gopis of Vrindavan were so attached to Krishna that they were not satisfied simply with the rasa dance at night. They wanted to associate with him and enjoy his company during the daytime also. When Krishna went to the forest with his cowherd boys and the cows, the gopis could not physically take part, but their hearts went with him. And because their hearts went, they were able to enjoy his company through strong feelings of separation. To acquire the strong feeling of separation is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and his directives of the succession of Goswamis. When we were not in physical contact with Krishna, we could also associate with him through strong feelings of separation. Krishna's name, form, quality, pastimes were all identical with him. There are nine different kinds of devotional service. In devotional service, in feelings of separation, elevates the devotee to the highest devotional perfection, to the level of the gopis. As stated in the prayers of Srinivasacharya to the six Goswamis, they gave up their material opulence and princely status of life and went to Vrindavan, where they lived like ordinary mendicants, begging from door to door. But they were so much enriched with the gopis' feelings of separation that they enjoyed transcendental pleasure at every moment. Similarly, when Lord Chaitanya was at Jagannath Puri, he was in the role of Radharani, feeling the separation of Krishna. Those who are in the disciple succession, the Madhvas, Gaudiya Sampradaya, should always feel separation of Krishna, worship his transcendental form, discuss his transcendental teachings, his entourage. In this way, the spiritual master should elevate the devotees to the highest devotional perfection, feeling constant separation from Krishna while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is the perfection of devotional service. So, such exalted personalities as the six Goswamis, they gave up everything and went to the Vrindavan, which at that time was a forest. There was no Loy Bazaar, believe it or not. You couldn't get a lick to anywhere, no matter what, how many rupees you had. You couldn't get anything. There was no rickshaws. There were no motorcycle rickshaws. there probably weren't even that many. There were a lot of monkeys. The monkeys were quite happy back then. But they were there and they were begging from door to door, and they weren't, when they begged from door to door, they didn't get, you know, subdi rice and dal. You know. They get a dry roti. Dry roti, man. That people back there, they didn't have kitchens. Knock on the door, you know, can I get a little prasad? Sure, come in, you know. We're just finished cooking. There was no cooking. They just get some dough, they grow a little wheat, you know, smash up the grains, put a little water on it, make it some kind of dough, make a little ball, throw it into the fire. That was the cooking. And you get a half-burned roti. And that was what you got to eat. But they went door to door and they begged for these things. It wasn't the rice, dal, chapatis, and pakoras, and samosas they were getting when they were ministers. But they were happy. They were satisfied. Prabhupada points out, C.R. Das was a very prominent barrister in India during Gandhi's time. And it was making 50,000 rupees a month, because 50,000 rupees a month, you just about buy a liquid nowadays with 50,000 rupees. But back then it was 100 times or 1,000 times what it is now. He was fabulously wealthy. But because he had become attracted to Gandhi's movement, at that time they had non-cooperation with the British. So everyone who was a lawyer or working for the British had to give up their occupation if you want to join Gandhi's movement. So C.R. Das, he said, no, let me just give my money and keep my business, keep my occupation. But Gandhi said, no, you must give up your occupation, non-cooperation with the British, join our movement, and we'll give you some salary. So they gave him a salary, 100 rupees a month. But he was used to 100 rupees a month, it was not bad back then. But he was used to 50,000 rupees a month. So Prabhupada said after 1 year he became so depressed, he died. Because he just couldn't tolerate the reduction in his standard of living. But the six Goswamis had a fabulous standard of living. Rupa Goswami had a boat full of gold, coins. So he was fabulously wealthy. And they gave it up, they went to Vrindavan, and all they had was loincloths. There were no nice silk dhotis, you get a loin bazaar, and you had your blanket, whatever else. They were living like ordinary mendicants. But they were so much enriched with the gopis' feelings of separation that they enjoyed transcendental pleasure at every moment. So that's our goal, to become enriched with the sentiments of the gopis. Of course, not that we go around and we start saying, oh, Krishna. Come to Mangalarti, oh, Krishna. No, that would be an imitation. Those feelings will develop when our Siddha Sarup, when we obtain Sarup Siddhi, after we come to the Prema Bhakti platform, which means we have to go through the regulated devotional service, Sadhana Bhakti, and then we come to the spontaneous platform of devotional service, beginning at Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, and then Prema, and then progressively through Prema, Sneha, Mana, Raga, Anuraga, Bhava, Mahabhava. Then these feelings of the gopis will be awakened. And then the taste, the happiness is so great because the pleasure is so unlimited that everything else seems tuchava, seems insignificant in comparison. But before one comes to that platform, there may be some distraction for some time. Although the devotees generally come out of distress, the Hare Krishna movement, or from some other reason, But often they forget after some time how much distress they were actually experiencing. And after they become purified by the process of devotional service, they again think that they can enjoy the material world in some way. And then they go back only to find themselves in another distressed position, or poverty-stricken position, or in ignorance, whatever else. And then they come back after some time to devotional service. So the example of Art Maharaj is given that we should not become lax. Not that we think, I've obtained such an exalted position in devotional service, I've been in the Hare Krishna movement for already 2 years, I'm ready to go back into the material world and I won't get affected by it. Now I can actually go back and get my proper education, make my $1 million, and then come back and save the Hare Krishna movement. That one should be cautious that the Livyanti's position is marginal, and at any moment, as a matter of fact, if we examine our lives, in the beginning stage of Bhajana Kriya, we have Utsahamayi, which means we become puffed up with enthusiasm. I'm so exalted, I'm so enthusiastic. Look at me, I dance during the kirtan. Look at those other devotees, those old, you know, has-me-nots. Is that what it's called, has-me-nots? That they're finished, they've lost all their enthusiasm, they've dried up. But I'm enthusiastic, I'll save the world, and if I become powerful enough, I'll even save these old, worn-out devotees. That's called Utsahamayi. I'm just overwhelmed. I'm just amazed at my own enthusiasm. But next comes Ganatarala. Ganatarala means after some time we begin to realize that I'm up like a bird reaching the sky, and the next moment I'm crashing to the ground like a balloon that's just popped. So we begin to realize I'm not so as exalted as I thought I was. I'm still exalted, there's no doubt about that. But I'm just a little less exalted than I imagine myself, that people understand me to be. So that's good to understand that we're not as steady as we think we are. So this is all, and then it comes to Vishaya, Sangara, Vyura, Vikalpa, different stages. We think we become attached, or we want to renounce things, but the more we think about renouncing them, then the more we become attached to them. I'm going to renounce everything, move to Vrindavan, make my life successful, chant Hare Krishna, give up material life. But if I do that, then I'm going to have to go out and collect to get to Vrindavan. It's so expensive nowadays. Maybe I should get a wife and she can collect and we can both go. But if I get a wife, then there'll have to be children, we'll have to collect so much money to get Vrindavan. Maybe I should go by myself and see if I can get a wife there. And she could collect from me there. But if I get a wife there, then you know, then I'll have to come back here because I don't, etc. So one just speculates. And one can, the more one speculates, the more the mind becomes agitated. So one thinks, let me just renounce. I'm not going to eat anything on Ekadasi, I'm going to fast, I'll observe Nilajala Ekadasi. Nilajala Ekadasi, Nilajala means no water. So I vow to follow Nilajala Ekadasi for the rest of my life. Which means on Ekadasi I'll have a big feast 3 times a day, but I won't take a drop of water. Then I can tell everyone I'm following the old job of God. Wow, you're so exalted. You haven't fallen for years. No problem for me to follow the old job of God. So when it's following the old job of God, and at every moment when it's thinking, oh God, I am starving to death. It's been 20, I have still 23 hours left before I can eat. I don't know if I'm going to survive. Look at all these other sinful devotees. They're actually eating prasadam on Ekadasi. You rascals! one is thinking, you're all going to Yasi Yamaraj. I'm going back to Vaikuntha because I'm following strictly Neil Jalakadasi. And it's been another 15 minutes that's gone by. So therefore, after some time, finally after the torture of following the whole day of Neil Jalakadasi, it's time to break the codicy. Sure, we have enough time. Just eat. So there, after some time, then there's Niyama Akshama, which means one makes a vow, I'm going to control my mind and senses, get up a certain time every day, go to sleep at a certain time, chant so many rounds a day, I make so many vows, but one finds it's very difficult to keep them all. Until finally one reaches the glorious stage called Naranga Rangini. One finally becomes steady in his devotional service, gets up more or less at the same time every day, attends the program, chants the number of rounds prescribed every day. And one is the hero. I made it. I'm pure. Everyone, here's my foot. You can touch it. It's fine. But this is seemingly, Prabhupada said, in the absence of a big tree, a cassia bush is very big. So this is not a perfection of devotional service. One still has to go through an artha nivritti, especially chant Hare Krishna purely, without offense. Then one can attain the state of nishtha, liberation from all material concepts. The desires may still come within the mind, but one is not affected by them anymore. One doesn't at least act according to them. One remains himself steady on the devotional platform, and this is the platform that Prabhupada indicated is really the platform from which one can take the responsibility of accepting disciples. Prabhupada used the word strict follower. Strict follower means there's no more hankering, there's no more lamentation. One understands that everyone is Krishna's eternal servant and acts towards others as if they were Krishna's eternal servant. This is called Brahma-Buddha platform of nishtha. And this is not even spiritual yet. This is only above the material platform. Of course, we're getting there by executing spiritual activities, but one is not really tasting spiritual life until one really comes to the platform of ruchi. Then everything becomes tasty. But ruchi is just insignificant compared to asakti. When the ruchi, the taste, becomes so great that the mind can't live without Krishna consciousness. Even for a moment, the mind withdraws itself from Krishna, immediately it comes back spontaneously. And if one expends asakti unlimitedly on aragana, or as it says, there is five progressive stages in Krishna smarana, known as remembrance, meditation, concentration, constant concentration, and samadhi. So along that line is asakti, where one's mind is concentrated on Krishna and ever expanding, entering deeper into Krishna's pastimes. And then one comes to the stage of samadhi. And then after that, then what's called Sarup City. So at the stage of Sarup City, one realizes one's eternal servant relation with Krishna at the stage of Bhava. One's feelings towards Krishna are awakened. That's how one knows what one's relation with Krishna is, because one's spontaneous feelings are awakened towards Krishna. Bhava, one's ecstatic feelings, loving feelings. And Bhava is only one ray in the sunlight of prema. So if you multiply Bhava millions of times, then you get come to the platform of prema, which is the platform where the pure devotional service, where one's relation with Krishna actually begins. And then the different stages of dasya, rasa, and and Sakya Rasa, Vatsalya Rasa, and go progressively from Prema to Sneha to Mana to Raga, Anuraga, Bhava, Mahabhava. So we think, I'm doing pretty well. Maya's not going to touch me. I can afford a little relaxation because I'm practically there already. Then Bhara Maharaj is at the state platform of Bhava, above even Asakti, where a woman's mind can't live without Krishna for a moment. And yet, he became attracted to a deer. It was a very beautiful deer. But it wasn't really that beautiful. It wasn't more beautiful than his wife was, I hope. Or his children. His kingdom, he gave that up, but he became attracted to a deer at the state of Bhava. So what to speak of ourselves? What we're going to become attracted to at our particular state, we're not cautious. So this particular example is used to help us become more cautious in our execution of devotional service, how careful we have to be that we don't become distracted and find ourselves in a very uncomfortable position. But on the other hand, it also mentions that Bharata Maharaj, in his next lifetime, although he was a deer, Krishna gave him the benediction because he was so exalted that he could remember his past lifetime. And therefore, even as a deer, he came to the Srimad Bhagavatam classes. If you notice, it's not a very common thing. In all my travels around the world, and all the classes I've been to, there's never been a deer who's come. Maybe, I remember giving a class in the park one time. We saw some deer, but they were not very attracted to the class. So it is very rare, but still it indicates that when one attains such an exalted position, it doesn't go in vain. And indeed, in the next lifetime, after the deer body, Chadbharata became Chadbhara, and he went back to Godhead after that. So, one side, be careful. The other side, the devotional service is so exalted and powerful that even a little endeavor, sincere endeavor, will give one permanent advance in devotional service. And when one takes up, even when one falls down, one will take up devotional service from the point of where one has left off. So even if a person only buys one book in this lifetime, when it comes back in a future lifetime, he'll buy two books and gradually advance. And it takes the whole library. So I'll stop there. Any questions, comments? Actually, it's a little late. Oh, it's 10 o'clock. Time goes quickly when you're having fun. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grand Rajshima Bhagavatam, Jai Prabhupada.